Well, in the wars that we've been in, we need improved interagency cooperation, collaboration. To do that, we think education and training is key. And so today's symposium is going to talk about both. How can we be better trained, not just inside of what we're doing in the military, but how can we do it on an interagency approach? And then the same thing with education.
And as far back as when President Bush was still president and Secretary of Defense Robert M. Gates was still the Secretary of Defense, one of the things he stressed was that we can't ask the military to do everything that needs to be done in Iraq and then later Afghanistan. We really need some more help and support from, and he mentioned State Department in particular. So does this address that question?
Yes, it's going to be across all of the agencies. There was a big day yesterday when the U.S. Institute of Peace released their guiding principles, which is really the first civilian document that provides the guidelines for stabilization and reconstruction. That's going to help a lot. But today is really about how do we work closer together. There's been a lot of initiatives, such as provincial reconstruction teams, that help us work together better. But we don't, in the military, we often... The services all work together, called in a joint environment. We need that same sort of collaboration, cooperation in an interagency environment, and this symposium today is going to help advance that effort.
I think the mission of the State Department, USAID, and the military are very different, and they need to be very different. Obviously, they have a different focus. One is diplomatic. The other is, you know, really using force in order to accomplish a goal. So how do you mesh those two mentalities into something that is fruitful for all?
Yeah, you have to work together. There's this, in my couple of tours in Iraq, there's a couple of things. You have to have a degree of stability to allow the other agencies to work. That stability could be enhanced by taking an interagency approach from the get-go. I mean, not everything is a pure security issue. Not everything is a pure development issue. They're all interrelated. The better that we understand each other, the more that we are in the schoolhouses together on both sides, both in the military side and the civilian agency side, the more we train together on both sides, the better we understand each other's capabilities.
And so just in a hypothetical, suppose it becomes the mission of the military in Afghanistan to basically protect the civilian population and allow the government there to start standing up in a way that it can protect itself and, you know, without commentary on what's the right policies. Just suppose that's what would happen. How would it look from the military standpoint to be supported by the State Department and other agencies in an effort like that?
Well, protection of the population is a great example. So protection of the population, we would normally put a series of outposts, but there's a whole local governance aspect of this that provides a outlet for the people to bring to the fore their grievances. There's a effort to enforce a security force, whether it be army or police from the host nation, which includes a rule of law effort, which needs to be enforced. There is microeconomics, which is vitally important, which we in the military are not good at, and USAID has extensive experience in this. That's just a few examples in just a small little village what could be done with an interagency approach.
We're talking this morning to Army Brigadier General Edward Cardone, Deputy Commanding General of the Army Combined Arms Center. He's talking today about an effort to bring the military together with other agencies within the federal government that work toward nation building and stabilizing areas that have been combat zones and probably still are. All right, so General, the interesting part about this for me is just the idea that the military is trying to understand the State Department and vice versa. Are there lessons learned from, say, Iraq that you can point to that show some of the success of this kind of joint operation?
I think there's definite areas of success that helped with the awakening movement. You know, the U.S. Institute of Peace did a lot of work with reconciliation in the Mahmadiyya area. The PRTs, one of which the PRT leader out in Wasit province in Iraq, Wade Weems, will be speaking today about how this small, started with a three-man team, grew into about a 40-man team, did a tremendous amount of work in a semi-stable environment, working with the governor, working with the police, augmented by a small security force that was able to advance really the development of the provincial government along all what we would call lines of operation, rule of law, economic development, governance, over about a year period while he was there. And that effort today continues. I think there's tremendous power in having diplomats, treasury, agriculture. They have areas of expertise we can't even possibly begin to mimic. And we're really good at security. We need a lot of help on the rest first to have true stabilization and good reconstruction efforts.
And I understand you have been three tours of duty in Iraq. Do you have any sense of whether this type of doctrine is taking root in Afghanistan at this point yet?
I can't really speak to Afghanistan. I've not been there, and I always caveat my three tours. And my first time, I was only there a few weeks, but it does give me a perspective because I started in Fallujah in 2003, and we used a different type of reconstruction effort there before it all went south. Then in 2005 and 2007, 2008, we learned a lot when you go back and look at the days of the CPA to what was going on there when I last left with Ambassador Crocker and General Petraeus. And that is a tremendous development and adaptation by the whole of government as we move forward in that. And it looks like we're doing a similar approach in terms of a unified civil military plan, which is critical to this as we go forward in other areas.
So a unified civil military plan approach in Afghanistan looks like it's taking shape to you?
Well, I just get what I get in the papers.
Yeah, I get what I get in the papers too, but it looks that way to me.
Right, it does, and I think it's going to be, I think those approaches are, over time, are much more effective. You can't have just no longer can we have a military plan and, okay, we're stabilized. All the rest of you come in here and help us. We can't operate that way anymore. So now everybody's in from the beginning, and if we understand this from the beginning, it actually helps our military operations from the beginning.